It's the NFFL Podcast, coming to you one more week in the regular season. One more time, head is flying solo. Good Thursday, men of Nellis. Yes, I am solo, at least right now. Hopefully Ben is able to pop in. Ben, don't know where you are. Full transparency, we've been planning to host together. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not able to raise him. So I got fully planned for this, and we got stats and everything and projections, so I felt like a waste to just not record. So I'm going to dive into the film review and move things around and see if Ben hops on. And yeah. So we're going to get right into, like I said, the film review, and I'm going to see if I can remember which sound cue I use. That was it. Anyway, there were six games last week. You all know the drill. We're going to start with Gridiron Mafia taking out the 25%ers, 207-30 to 119-88. That is an 87.42-point margin of victory for Gridiron Mafia. And was our whoop-ass victory of the week. A new low point in Philadelphia player production. Yes, this is the last week you'll hear me bring this statistic up. That is so sad. I don't have any sad music or sad sounds on my board here. I'm sad. Oh, well, I'm sure Jizza won't mind. But this is the lowest output of a Philadelphia squad for the 25%ers. Only three Philadelphia players, 20% of the roster, contributing 14.7 points to the effort. That was it. Studs in this matchup, DK Metcalf and his three touchdowns. Geno Smith went 23, 334, and three tutties. And Aziz Al-Shaair, 12 total tackles and a sack. Not too shabby. For the Stinkers, 25%ers wide receivers combined for 1.40 points on five targets. Yes, you heard that right. That sounds like my wide receivers. I feel for you. DeAndre Swift, another stinker. And let's throw it out there to Justin Watson of the Chiefs. Just not a good wide receiver. Let's share that DK Metcalf is the MVP of this matchup. And we are going to move on to our next matchup. Sweatman's Runners taking on Jim Kelly Hates Cancer in the Toilet Bowl game of the week. This was a 244.16 to 164.94 effort. 79.22-point margin of victory for Sweatman's Runners. Now, you might be asking yourself, why was this not? Why was the whoop-ass victory of the week game not the Toilet Bowl game of the week in this second biggest margin victory game? Well, it's because Chuck had so many players on bye that he decided to not be competitive and just take the loss. So you'll notice if you look back, he even started a player who was out. So I'm going to give this a Toilet Bowl Game of the Week. Nico Collins and CeeDee Lamb are a couple of studs, combining for 56.20 points. Khalil Mack in his two sacks, dude's found something that he's just reviving his career. And Devon Achan, two touchdowns. Apparently, he's over that knee injury. Stinkers, Justin Herbert. There is no one on that team that can catch. Austin Eckler has got to be playing injured. And, Mike Williams is gone. They've got one. He's got one reliable pass catcher, and that's it. And just, as mentioned, Austin Eckler, he had about 1 yard per carry in that awful game that ended 6-0. You know, the New England Patriots have held their last three opponents, including this one, to 10 points or less and lost all three games. How's that for a regression of the game of football? They're calling up the New York Jets and saying, guys, this sucks. MVP for this matchup, Devon Achan. Welcome back. Matchup number 3, San Diego 8, taking on Roster Guard 99. 156.26 to 138.50. That's a 17.76 point margin of victory for San Diego 8. Yes. Studs, Deebo Samuel and his three total touchdowns, and Alvin Kamara and his two total touchdowns. Stinkers, Drake London, did nothing. And, almost nothing. I mean, he did get points on the board for us. And Logan Thomas, again, did practically nothing. And a lot in this game, you can just wipe it off and say, okay, better luck next time. Matchup MVP, Deebo Samuel. San Diego 8's coming on strong in this last few weeks of the season. So, we'll talk about him a little more later, I'm sure. Next up, Lance Manlove taking on Night Shift. 165.64 to 156.70. 8.94 point margin of victory for Lance Manlove. I got to say, I hate injuries. I wish we could turn those off in real life. Studs, James Conner, 105 and two touchdowns against Pittsburgh in that ridiculously long game. Derrick Henry, 102 yards and two touchdowns and a concussion scare. Apparently he is not in the protocol, last I checked. And Bobby Wagner, everywhere on the field, 14 total tackles. Stinkers, Josh Downs, CJ Mosley, and like I said, injuries. Night Shift lost half of the defense to injuries in their games. Three of the six guys on the field were lost to injury midway through their matchups. One of them on the first drive. Oh, it sucks. Matchup MVP for this one, Derrick Henry. Next up, the dude abides taking on awful waffles. We're going to see 253.24 to 202.88 with a 50.36 point margin of victory for the dude abides in this one. Studs, Dak Prescott, three touchdowns and just under 300 yards. Tyreek Hill went 5 for 157 and two touchdowns. Side note, just started watching In Season for Hard Knocks, following the Dolphins. That's been fun to watch. If you haven't been, check it out. Hashtag not a sponsor. And Brock Purdy and his four touchdowns. I don't think any of them went for more than 10 yards out of his hand. But hey, they show up on the stat sheet. So Awful Waffles gets the points. Stinkers. Really no stinkers to speak of outside of Samaje Perine in this matchup. I mean, both teams went over 200 points. Pretty much everyone did their job. And I mentioned last week, Samaje Perine is a bye week dart throw. Tyreek Hill is getting MVP honors from me this week. And our last matchup was our game of the week. E-Town Asian taking on Bear Bunda's Nightmare. 152.80 to 156.78. This was a 3.98 point margin of victory for Bear Bunda's Nightmare. Very much a squeaker. Studs Matthew Stafford putting up 3 touchdowns. Chuba Hubbard, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Josh Allen, the defensive player, Josh Allen. He hates being called the other Josh Allen. A sack, an interception, 2 tackles. And I don't know who all was watching the game, but that interception was hilarious on a wide receiver pass that should have never been thrown. Stinkers. Myles Garrett goes for the golden goose. I got to turn the volume back up. Nearly E-Town Asian's entire team. This was the lowest output of the season for E-Town Asian. If any of his team, if just a few of his guys would have really stepped up, this would have been an easy victory for them. And Greg Dortch. I'm singling him out. Greg Dortch. Not on Asian's team. Over on Bear Bunda. MVP for this one, Matthew Stafford. Let's take a look at some week 13 hardware. All right, so we're going to look at the offensive and defensive players of the week. We'll start with Telnet. Offensive player of the week, Deebo Samuel, San Diego 8. 4 for 116 and 2 touchdowns, plus another 22 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown and 60 return yards. No wonder he was the MVP. The Sparcy offensive player of the week, Dak Prescott for the Dude Abides. 29 for 299, told you just under 300, and 3 touchdowns. On the defensive side of the ball, Khalil Mack for Sweatman's Runners, 5 tackles, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble. On the defensive side for Sparcy, we got a tie. Alex Singleton, I believe I mentioned, was it last week? I wanted to see, he was a player I wanted to watch because I wanted to see if he'd keep up his stretch of good games. And he was for the Dude Abides and Aziz Al-Shaair for Gridiron Mafia. Identical stat lines, 12 total tackles, 8 solo, and 1 sack. Both of them. Oh, yes, it's a beautiful day. And, yeah, so let's look instead at some of the poopers.
Not good enough, damn it! Not good enough! The brown note! You McGuire!
We've got Samaje Perine, Micah Poopsins, Josh got the brown down pants, Josh sweating in the bathroom, Christian not so Christian Wilkins. We've got a flock of geese coming up. Miles Garrett, Terry McLaurin, Justin Wassling Watson, Chad Muma. Oh, yeah, all of those guys goosed. David Harudujoquin. Oh, yeah, and Joku. Rundale, I got to go some more. Poo-poo Atwell. Awful Eckler. Drake, go back to London. Devondre Campbell and Logan Thomas. Those are the most defensive poopers of this week.
Not good enough, damn it. Not good enough.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what happened to Ben. So let's look at some playoff scenarios. Scott worked up some stats for us. The top six have clinched. The Dude Abides, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, Awful Waffles, Bear Bunda's Nightmare, Gridiron Mafia, and E-Town Nation. They have all clinched. Now, the Dude Abides, they can get the number one seed with a win against Night Shift this week. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer can get the number one seed with the win against E-Town Asian and a loss by the Dude Abides. Awful Waffles, Bear Buna's Nightmare, Gridiron Mafia, and E-Town Asian are playing for seeding. Now, the bottom of the ladder, Lance Man Love has nothing to play for. They are out of the playoffs. They have been mathematically eliminated. There's no shot. They have a snowball's chance in hell, which means nothing. And the 25%ers have clinched the Pierce. Of course, we announced that 2 weeks ago. Maybe it's just last week. I don't know. So these guys have nothing to play for. This is just for bragging rights and maybe play spoiler. In the hunt for the final two spots, there is a world where two of four teams can clinch one of these two spots. We'll start with Sweatman's Runners. They are taking on San Diego 8, who are currently in the number 10 position. They can clinch the playoffs with a win and a loss by Night Shift. Their simplest path. Or a loss and a win by Night Shift. But a Night Shift would have to score more, 118.74 more than Sweatman's Runners. Because of points, yeah. So basically, win and Night Shift loses and they're in. Or honestly, mathematically win and they're in. They almost control their own destiny. Next up, currently sitting at number 8, Roster Guard 99, they're taking on Bear Bunda's Nightmare. They clinch playoffs with a win and losses by Night Shift and San Diego 8, or a loss and a win by Night Shift if they outscore Night Shift by more than 0.16, and a win by San Diego 8 if they outscore San Diego 8 by more than 70.03. There you go. Next up, number 9, Night Shift, taking on the Dude Abides, currently sitting in the number 1 position. We already mentioned then. Out of the playoffs with a loss. Period. There's no chance. Clinch the playoffs with a win and a loss by Roster Guard 99, and be within 0.16 points of Roster Guard 99's score. So they have to win, have Roster Guard 99's loss, and basically be with and outscore Roster Guard 99 by a point. And San Diego 8, currently sitting at number 10, taking out Sweatman's Runners. If they lose, they're out. They can get in with a win, a Night Shift loss, a Roster Guard 99 loss, and score 70.04 points, more points than roster guard 99. Period. So there are your playoff scenarios. I have no sound file for that. But thank you, Scott, so much for working those up. I also have a fun little factoid here. I ran our league through a site called the FF Hub, and they do some calculations for us. The history of each team's scores this year. They don't take projections or buys. Uses the data to run 10,000 Monte Carlo type simulations of each matchup with the team's given score, standard deviation. And here are your statistics or your statistical probabilities of these last two spots. The number seven spot, 92.56% probability going to Sweatman's Runners. And a 7.44% chance of that going to Roster Guard 99. The number eight spot, there's a 7.44% chance of that going to Sweatman's Runners. An 82.73% chance of that going to Roster Guard 99. A 9.76% chance of that going to Night Shift. And a 0.07% chance of that going to San Diego 8. So in the words of Jim Carrey, so you're telling me there's a chance. Yes. Never stop dreaming, Rob. Never stop dreaming. So there are your playoff projections and your statistical probabilities for the playoffs. Let's look at week 14 and the what the games actually will be. That's enough of that. There's no one here to dance white boy dances with me. All right, we're going to start off with our projected Toilet Bowl game of the week. It's Night Shift versus the Dude Abides. The Yahoo super early projected outcome is that the Dude Abides takes Night Shift out behind the woodshed, murders them, and does unspeakable things with the corpse. There's slightly more than a snowball's chance in hell that Night Shift can pull out a victory, but there's really not much realistically a shot here. So, I'm not really going to talk about it. My pick, do you have to ask? No, it's the Dude Abides. Night Shift is not going to the playoffs. Next up, Awful Waffles taking on Gridiron Mafia. The super early projected outcome is that Awful Waffles takes this by about 20, the last I looked. I'm recording it Thursday night. I finished these write-ups on Wednesday night. So if you guys have changed rosters since then, that's why these may not be as accurate. Off Waffles, the offense sliding a little bit. Cooper Kupp and Nacua, they get Baltimore, and they're both pretty banged up. Breece Hall is chained to a sinking ship. This offense is being buoyed by Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey this week against the Seahawks. I wouldn't expect last week's numbers, but they're both going to be pretty usable. Player to watch is Travis Kelce. He seems to have lost half a step, but he does get a fairly forgiving Buffalo defense. For Gridiron Mafia, DK is going to get a lot of looks, but he won't have three touchdowns. Smith should eat after Geno showed how to dissect the Dallas defense last week. If Dallas can do it, then Smith can. It would not surprise me to see Evan Ingram have a big day with CJ Beathard under center. And I'm going to watch Rashee Rice, 19 targets in the last 2 weeks. He may be Mahomes' most trusted wide receiver. He's not doing a heck of a lot with it, but he's at least getting the looks. I'm taking Awful Waffles in this one. Next up, Barabunda's Nightmare versus RosterGuard 99. RosterGuard 99, when I looked, first of all, Barabunda's Nightmare is being super early projected to win by over 40. Last I looked, RosterGuard 99 needed a quarterback because they had Kenny Pickett in, who everyone knows is not playing, has had ankle surgery. For Barabunda, I like Zeke and Chuba to be pretty good plays this week and generate some good points. Zeke gets Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. They've been vulnerable to the run, and he's going to be pretty much New England's best weapon with Ramondre out, aside from their punter. George Kittle was quiet last 2 weeks. He's due for a big break or a big week. Player to watch for me, George Pickens with Trubisky under center. I'm very curious. I don't remember what he did with Trubisky under center with a week of practice last time. For RosterGuard 99, I don't like any of the wide receiver prospects. Moore can't catch. London is more cold than hot. Wilson has no QB. Running back is worrisome as well. Najee has this new knee injury that's popped up on Tuesday, and Raheem Mostert may be slowing down, and he's got Achan eating into his touches. Player to watch for me is Alvin Kamara versus the league's worst rush defense. Yes, please give me Barabunda's Nightmare in this one. Next up is going to be our projected game of the week. Yes, projected game of the week. It's the E-Town Throwdown. Patent pending. I've copyrighted it. Not really. I just said it. E-Town Asian versus Jim Kelly Hates Cancer. Projected outcome super early. Jim Kelly hates cancer by almost 20. E-Town Asian running back's a little scary. Bijan gets Tampa Bay, and he couldn't crack 10 points against the Jets' rushing defense. And they can be had. Gibbs seems to have fallen back to the scat back role for Detroit. And A.J. Dillon is still A.J. Dillon. Myles Garrett is playing hurt, and it shows. I do like the Tua Waddle stack against Tennessee. I'm very curious for my player to watch, Justin Jefferson. If he's back in the lineup, and it looks like he is, how does he do with Joshua Dobbs? Because he was finally named the starting quarterback this week. For Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, wide receiver looks pretty strong with A.J. Brown getting looks again. Ridley is a worry with Christian Kirk out and Beathard under center. But Devontae has a rapport with his rookie QB. Alec Pierce could be a sneaky play at wide receiver. Just saying, he's on the bench, but just saying, he's getting some love from Minshew. Running back is solid with both Mixon and Achan. Player to watch, they had the number 10 defense last week, and they haven't been low prior to that. Can they bounce back this week? I'm taking Jim Kelly Hates Cancer on this one. Fighting for that number one spot. Our penultimate matchup this week is going to be Lance Manlove taking on the 25%ers. Our two guys. I said they could possibly play spoiler, and it didn't click with me that they're not even playing anyone that they could spoil. They're just playing each other. This game. No. Yeah, I'm going to give it. We're going to have two Toilet Bowl games of the week because this game is literally for nothing. It's seriously our number 11 and number 12 team playing for nothing, and it's not even for seeding. super early projected outcome. Lance Manlove by just over 40. Lance Bainlove, wide receiver, is iffy after Nuke. Cooper's concussed, likely won't play. Tyler Boyd's number three on the team. Rashid Shaheed's injured, so it's probably going to be Gabe Davis we see. Henry and Jacobs are who this offense will run through. Player to watch, Pollard. He didn't fare well against the Eagles earlier this season, so how's he do at home against them? They play much better at home than they do away, so maybe he'll do better. 25%ers, can I repeat what I said last week? Go look what I said last week. I was very tempted to copy and paste it here, but I won't. There is a universe where Tutu Atwell, Watson, Singletary, and Okonkwo all have monster games this week. This is not that universe. Player to watch, Zach Moss. Is he just another middling RB now, or can the magic be recaptured? My pick, the 25%ers, go winless. And our final matchup, the San Diego 8 versus Sweatman's Runners. Oh, this could be another game of the week, but I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Yahoo super early projected outcome, Sweatman's Runners by 25. San Diego 8, they need Debo and Ayuk both to go off to make up for whomever fills in it for Samuel and Logan Thomas's spots since the Commanders are on bye. I do like Jaden Reed getting more play with Watson out in Green Bay. Goff could need to fling it in Chicago the way Detroit's defense has been playing lately, but we're also potentially going to be playing in a pretty bad weather game the way things are shaping up, so who knows what impact that could have on the air game. Player to watch, Jerome Ford. He's a committee back now, so what does that do to his production? It hasn't been great. Hasn't been horrible, but it hasn't been great either. Sweatman's Runners. The only real liabilities I see on the offense are Eckler and maybe Deontay Johnson. It is defense where the problems could lie. Jacobs is streaky and so far has been cold. Lavonte David is coming back from a groin injury if he plays. Player to watch is Hyatt, Jalen Hyatt. Rookie looked pretty promising last week, and I'd like to see what more comes of it. My pick, Sweatman's Runners, goes to the playoffs in the number 8 spot. Or, no, they'll go number 7, and who is it? Roster Guard 99 will fall ass backwards into the number 8 spot because I did not pick them to win their matchup, did I? No. So yeah, my picks are Sweatman's Runners will go in at number 7 and Roster Guard 99 will go in at number 8. So there you have it. Last week I went 5-1 in my picks. Doing pretty good the last couple weeks. 30-18 on the season. You can buy NFFL swag on the on Redbubble at bit.ly/NellisNFFL. Your buys this week are Arizona and Washington. And Thursday Night Football this week, as I mentioned, is New England and Pittsburgh. Ben, I don't know what happened to you. I missed you, buddy. And hopefully we can get you on next week with Scott and I. And we'll catch you later. For the rest of you guys, we'll see you on the gridiron this week. Get your dubs, get your playoff spots locked in. And yeah, enjoy. It's playoff time. NFFL Podcast is a production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios, tell your story.